Majority of you know we are pursuing our course through a series of studies on our responsibilities to one another. We've reached somewhere around the middle of that series. I was rather surprised to find no less than 57 verses in my New Testament which use the phrase one another or each other in the context, in context only, of our spiritual responsibilities, the one to the other. I know that statistic because I counted them. This morning our topic is encourage one another. And our set text, from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 5 and verse 11. Encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And that very verse raises the question of how we should translate the word that we have there rendered encourage, because certainly this particular word has a very wide range of meaning, spanning to summon, to invoke, to entreat, to exhort, to comfort, and as you will gather, of course, to strengthen and encourage. It's not always easy to decide which is the best translation in any given verse. In most cases, the context is a very good guide, but even that is not always decisive, as the variety of translations of some verses in your New Testament go to prove. So you just have to bear with me this morning if your favourite version differs in some cases from the translation which I will be showing you. But whether or not we agree over how some of our passages today should be translated, I am sure that we would all agree that there are times when every one of us needs encouragement. I don't need to tell you surely that there are many things which conspire to discourage and even depress us at times. By way of example, globally we have only to think of the now militant new atheism here in the West, and the rising tide of Islam right round our planet. Local church level, we've only to think of Bethesda's aging population and what seems to be a very poor response to the gospel. Then at personal level, we have only to think of some very serious health issues and the agonizing family problems which many in the fellowship face. But it is clear from his writings that even the Apostle Paul both needed and appreciated encouragement in his service for God. This word translated encourage in our text this morning rather dominates what we know as Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It occurs 29 times in all, stretching from the opening paragraph, right back to the opening paragraph, and right through to his closing paragraph. And in that letter, the apostle has much indeed to say of his need for and his appreciation of encouragement, especially in chapters 1 and 7. I want you to note how the very opening paragraph, that's verses 3 to 7 of chapter 1, is saturated with the word. Puts in an appearance no less than 10 times in just 5 verses. Toward the beginning of chapter 7, Paul tells how when he was experiencing a period of great discouragement, God stepped in to encourage him. When we came into Macedonia, he recalled, without were fightings, within were fears, but God, who encourages the downcast, encouraged us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but also by the encouragement with which he was encouraged over you, reporting to us your eager longing, your mourning, and your zeal for me. Well, with Paul's experience in our minds, let nobody say that they have spiritually outgrown the need for encouragement. And I can assure you that if we heed the exhortation of 1 Thessalonians 5 to encourage one another, and you can hardly miss there the tribute that Paul paid to Thessalonians, as indeed you are doing, if we heed his exhortation, we will be in the best of company. Because according to my New Testament, each person of the Godhead is engaged in encouraging God's people. We've already noted from 2 Corinthians 1 that God the Father is the great encourager. The God of all encouragement who, as Paul testified, encourages us. Ah yes, but then, at the close of 2 Thessalonians 2, the apostle expressed to the believers his desire that our Lord Jesus Christ himself should encourage your hearts. And yet again, Acts chapter 9, Luke reports how the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria walked in the fear of the Lord and in the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes. If we encourage one another, we are, make no mistake, in the very best of company. Doubtless there will be times when there is no Christian friend around to encourage us, and we are just left to encourage ourselves. We find in the first book of Samuel, chapter 30, that David once faced just a situation. Everything seemed against him. He'd lost his city and his entire family. And then to cap it all, his own faithful, loyal men now spoke of stoning him. You know, David wasn't having a good day. But it was then, at his lowest point, that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and there are times when we are left to do that. But our subject this morning is not that of encouraging ourselves, but that of encouraging one another. And it's certainly worth noting, from 2 Corinthians 7, that the Lord encouraged Paul, not directly as he might, for example, by speaking to him himself, or then perhaps by sending an angel to do so, both of which at times he did, according to the book of Acts. No, God encouraged Paul through others, namely through Titus. And the Corinthians themselves, their response to his earlier pleas and correspondence. Not that this was the only time when the apostle received encouragement from others. Told the Colossian church, for instance, how three great Jewish Christians had been an encouragement to him. So it comes as no surprise, surely, that someone who himself benefited so much from the ministry of encouragement, that he should, as occasion demanded, take the opportunity of sending his co-workers to encourage others, whether we speak of Timothy to Thessalonica or Tychicus to Colossae. We find there no shortage of encouragers on the pages of Scripture. But for today, I want to single out just two. Two men who stand out to me as great examples of this ministry of encouragement, and one from each testament. From the Old Testament, I have chosen Saul's son, Jonathan, a man who has been well described as the Old Testament Barnabas. Barnabas being someone who very much lived up to his name. His name properly means son of encouragement, and encourage others he most certainly did, as witness at Antioch, where, as Luke reports in chapter 11, he encouraged all with purpose of heart to cleave to the Lord. Never mind Barnabas. At the time which I have in mind, David was fleeing from King Saul, near the safest policy. Saul sought him every day, we read, 1 Samuel 23, it's verse 14. But at a critical moment, so the passage continues, Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. Jonathan's visit and words of encouragement couldn't have come at a better time for the son of Jesse. Sandwiched as they were between the base ingratitude of the men of Keilah and the treachery of the men of Ziph. But if young David could not rely on the gratitude of those he had recently risked his life to save from the Philistines, I speak of the men of Keilah, nor of those who were in his own tribal territory of Judah, his tribe, of course, I speak now of the Ziphites, if he could not rely on either of these, then on whom could he rely? Ironically, on the son of his relentless pursuer. Jonathan's purpose in coming to David was clearly to do exactly what he did, namely to strengthen and encourage David in God. Don't please miss those last words, in God. In effect, Jonathan strengthened David, as it were, by putting David's weak hand into God's almighty hand. And here, 1 Samuel 30, as often, the most, 1 Samuel 23, the most effective encouragement means instilling courage into someone who was discouraged, and to do so by lifting that person's eyes and thoughts towards God. Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God by bringing to David something far better than either more soldiers or more supplies, by bringing him words. No, not harsh words about Saul, for this noble son of a king was careful to let not one disloyal word escape his lips, but to bring him marvelous words of encouragement. And he said to him, "Fear not." Is that all? Just a nice sentiment? Without any real substance or foundation? No way. Jonathan revived David's spirit by pointing him to the sure and certain fulfillment of God's promise to him and of God's purpose for him. Believing for a moment my Old Testament example of encouraging others, out of the many candidates in the New Testament, I have chosen, and I know not his name, the writer to the Hebrews, who himself described his epistle as a word of encouragement. He called it brief. I don't know what length it would have been if he'd written a long word of encouragement. And who, the writer, in that very epistle, more than once, exhorted his readers to encourage one another. And those to whom he wrote certainly needed all the encouragement they could get, because they were exposed to enormous pressures and trials. And this writer bears them record in chapter 10, that they had earlier accepted, and accepted joyfully, the plundering of their possessions, and he reminds them in chapter 13 that they had not yet resisted to the point of shedding their blood, with the rather ominous implication that in the future, some of them at least, would lose their lives, just as in the past they had lost their goods. And as might be expected in such circumstances, some of them at least were feeling weary and disheartened. They had in effect taken their feet off the pedals. The writer encouraged them. He encouraged them by reminding them of the spiritual wealth which was theirs, of those things which, as he said so frequently, they had. By reminding them, among other things, of God's faithfulness to his promises, and of that unshakable kingdom which was theirs. Oh, and by pointing them to the Lord Jesus. It was in the light of such glorious blessings that he encouraged them, and encouraged them not only to go in, into the presence of God, that is, and boldly, not only to go out in witness, but to go on. Notwithstanding anything, to go on, let us go on, and putting my Old and New Testament examples together, we find that those that were encouraged, whether David or the original readers of the Hebrew letter, they had much in common, not least that they had lost many of their possessions. Their lives were then in real danger, but I note that both Jonathan and the writer of the Hebrew letter tackle those situations in much the same way, in that they both point in the same direction, upwards. And I think it's right that we follow their example, to encourage one another by directing one another's eyes to the ultimate source of our encouragement as Christians, namely to God. And to his word, and I do remember that Paul spoke to the Romans of the encouragement of the scriptures. Although I would and indeed must add that undoubtedly there are occasions when we can encourage one another greatly, not only by referring one another to what God's word has promised, but by recounting how, on a personal experience level, how God has proved himself faithful to us in the past. Indeed, who knows, but that one of the reasons we pass through those earlier experiences was that, as was certainly the case with the Apostle Paul, that we may be able to encourage those who are in any tribulation whatever, through the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged of God. And indeed, there's no doubt that sincere words, simple words of appreciation for the efforts, often the sterling work being put in by others, that those words often prove a source of very real and important encouragement to them. In chapter 41 of his prophecy, Isaiah describes the fear and trembling of the heathen nations, in the face of God's power. But instead of turning to him, they proceed to encourage themselves in their idolatry. Everyone helps his neighbor, Isaiah reports, and says to his brother, be strong. So the craftsman encourages the goldsmith, and he who smooths with the hammer encourages him who strikes the anvil, saying of the welding, it's good. And they strengthen it, that's a reference to the idol, with nails so that it can't be moved, it won't totter. Now, although we must unreservedly condemn their idolatry, we can certainly take a leaf out of their book when it comes to us encouraging each other in our work for God. When somebody else is doing a good job, and we know they're doing a good job, it doesn't cost a great deal, if anything, to tell them so. And in a day when there is more than enough criticism to go around, we may never know just how much one simple compliment or some other gesture of encouragement might mean to that brother or sister. Now, as you are aware, this week we are poised to recommence many of our assembly activities after the summer break. And as we do this, through his word this morning, the Lord would encourage us to encourage one another. And for our encouragement, let us remember, please, that no matter how menial our task or our contribution, we each and every one serve the Lord Christ. And we remember that our labor is not in vain in the Lord.